in this last minute?
I think what's really significant about the Chinese response is not just the tariff response, but the fact that they have put export bans on some critical raw materials of which they are currently the only global producer. And that's going to affect all kinds of production, all of the new high technology production that the US wants to encourage, and where it feels that it wants to gain a technological advantage over China, simply won't happen. Everything from EVs to solar panels to you name it, defense equipment, etc., all of this is going to be affected. So it's been a remarkably stupid strategic move by Trump.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say that there's a silver lining in this for developing countries, which is that for too long, for maybe three decades, we've been told that the only way we can develop is through export-led growth. And that's really, it's been unfortunate because we have never seen giving our own workers a fair deal as a good option. We've always seen wages as a cost, not as a source of our own domestic demand and market. It's now time to actually change, to shift gears, to think about different trading arrangements, more regional arrangements, looking at other developing countries as markets, looking at our own population as markets, and thinking about the things we can do to create sustainable production that's not ecologically damaging, that actually provides living wages and decent working conditions within our own countries.
We have to leave it there. Thank you so much. University of Massachusetts Amherst Professor Jayati Ghosh, speaking to us from New Delhi. I'm Amy Goodman.
You are listening to KBOO. Portland. You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4 Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the great special programs we're bringing you now through April 15th at kboo.fm/ATNF4.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and the nonprofit Oregon Potters Association, presenting its annual event, the Ceramic Showcase, with the Gathering of the Guilds, April 25th through 27th at the Oregon Convention Center. More info available at ceramicshowcase.com.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us here on KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I'm your host this morning on the 7th of April, 2025. Thank you so much for joining us and for being a member of our community. I hope that you are a member of our community through our All Thrills, No Frills period here. Please consider being a supporter, but being a member. Go to our website and find out how you may join. And today, the 7th of April, 2025, thank you all for joining us, and thank you all. Well, those of you who have been listening to the news program just before heard some things about what has been going on around the nation this weekend in terms of people gathering and finding their voice. What are your reflections on the hands-off rallies? There are many people in many communities here in Oregon, in communities large and small, people gathered and attempted to allow their voice to be heard. So what are some of your thoughts? What is your perspective on the history of change? Was the strategy that was lifted up on Saturday, where thousands of people gathered in community and march and rally for a few hours. How effective is that as a means of strategic change? Well, the roles of mass mobilization is just one means in organizing for power and change, and certainly it is not the sole way in which people establish justice in their society. Mass mobilization is one, but it's not the sole reason. There are many ways and many things that people can do in their different environment. Many of us were sat in captive attention to hear Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey filibuster last week, a long marathon speech lasting, you know, over 24 hours. Now, certainly there's been debate about whether that was performative or not. Whether or not it would give Democrats in the Senate the courage to find creative ways to use their power in ways they may not have imagined, including stalling legislation, finding ways to make the public know about the consequences of the proposed legislation. And then we saw and are in the midst of markets throughout the world collapsing because of the move of the President of the United States. Where are we and where are we headed? I was in a book study group yesterday. We were reading a book by Marion Edgar Buddy, who's the Episcopal Bishop of Washington, D.C., and in her book, How We Learn to Be Brave, Decisive Moments in Life and Faith, and many of you might be familiar with Bishop from a few years ago on a Trump one when the president went in front of St. John's Church and held up a Bible upside down. The bishop spoke out against that that performance by the president in front of her church. And then more recently at the inauguration religious service, the bishop made a compassionate appeal to the president for mercy. So we've been reading her book in terms of finding out how she learned to be brave and how we, when to stand up. And one woman said to me, said to the group, she was encouraged by the rally, encouraged by what she was reading in the book, and she said, "So, the rally happened, when's the next one?" Well, it's more than just organizing rallies that we hear. And so I hope that this morning we'll have a conversation about the what does it mean to organize in different communities and in different ways? And before I go to our first caller, let me share with you a quote from John Lewis that I think is helpful. He said, "Take a long, hard look down the road you will have to travel once you have made a commitment to work for change. Know that this transformation will not happen right away. Change often takes time. It rarely happens all at once. In the movement, we didn't know how history would play itself out. When we were getting arrested and waiting in jail or standing in unmovable lines on the courthouse steps, we didn't know what would happen, but we knew it had to happen." Use the words of the movement to pace yourself, John Lewis writes. He says, "We used to say that ours is not the struggle of one day, one week, or one year. Ours is not the struggle of one judicial appointment or presidential term. Ours is the struggle of a lifetime, or maybe even many lifetimes, And each one of us in every generation must do our part. And if we believe in the change we seek, then it is easy to commit to doing all we can, because the responsibility is ours alone to build a better society and more peaceful world. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Those were the words of John Lewis. Let's hear your words. Let's go to our caller. A man. I was going to actually quote from Santiago, because Santiago made a post on Facebook a couple of days ago that I wanted to respond to. But since Santiago is right here, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Cecil. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Hey, share some words. I was moved by a post you made. I forgot what was the name of the post, but in terms of social change and what was required. So let's hear some of your thoughts.
Well, I went down to the hands-off protest for a minute, and I just saw I was kind of disgusted with, like, how many people were chummy with the cops. You know, we're talking about real change that actually, like, affects the working class. The cops are there, period, point blank, to stop it. And I mean, with it having the backing of basically like Senate Democrats who are doing nothing, it just came off to me as just a block party with signs, you know. And not to disparage, you know, because clearly people are upset, people are angry, and they should be out there. But like you were saying, you were asking about, you know, protests and its effectiveness. Well, protest is effective when it's tied to a greater movement. And the problem is people are angry, and the people who are supposed to be the opposition are telling them to point their guns every which way except at the people who are actually in charge. You know, I get that Trump is a bad dude, but Trump is funded by the same people who are funding the Democrats. I mean, we just saw Cory Booker do a 25-hour filibuster only to turn around and vote with Republicans to send 35,000 more bombs to Gaza. I mean, it was giving Neil and Kente Glock vibes, honestly. You know, and it's you know, and I know that people say, oh, you know, Santiago has criticisms, but he doesn't have answers. Well, the thing is that, like, one person can't have all the answers. And I'll admit, that's... I have some answers, but I'm not a fortune teller. Right. I'm not trying to, you know, the point of this is to, you know, what I'm hearing from the hands-off protest versus, like, Party for Socialism and Liberation, they have specific demands. Well, you know, they're talking about end all U.S. aid to Israel and end the apartheid in Gaza.
So let me ask you, certainly I think I agree with most of what you said in terms of mass movement and the demonstrations. But I wonder, certainly, Cory Booker, he can do what he can do. You can organize people in your community. There are different ways and different means, as you suggest, of organizing and different demands. So that I don't know the organizers of a hands-off movement, but I suspect that in each community where people gathered, there may have been specific demands, and there may have been more general demands. And for me, at least, it's you know, I can critique, you know, certain movements, certain signs, certain interaction. But for me, it's leading up to something. So certainly at the end of Saturday, I certainly didn't expect, you know, the revolution to come. But I hope that people build on it. Go ahead.
No, I hope people build on it too. But the problem is that the problem is, and I'll get to it, this is what I was getting to, is that, you know, Indivisible was the organizer for the hands-off rally. And they have, I feel like they have good intentions, and I get along with most of the people who are part of Indivisible, but The biggest problem is they don't see American hegemony in the world as the greater problem. Because what we're seeing right now is the last kicks of a dying donkey. And people are asking, well, is America going down the toilet because of bad leadership? And I'll say, I think there's a bad leadership part of it too. But the main thing is that America has been losing relevance in the world. In all honesty, America should have been on its way down as a world power, a significant world power, at the end of the Vietnam War. And it really was. We're starting to see after the civil rights protests and that we were seeing it edging more towards a social democracy. But then, you know, with the changes of Nixon and Carter leading up to Reagan, there was the infusion of neoliberalism where instead of the state being beholden to the people, the state was now beholden to private business to prop it up. And we've seen over the last 50 years, essentially zombie economies and zombie businesses where they're literally just being floated by electorate, by numbers in a database. And, you know, and America has been losing its relevance. We're talking
I agree. And American is an empire, is dying, and like all empires, they rise and they die.
All empires.
And that, quite frankly, gives me some hope.
I agree. It gives me hope too. The people in the streets got to understand that too. You know, a lot of Democrats are fear-mongering right along with Republicans around the rise of China. Well, the thing is that, you know, China has worked its butt off, and whether you agree with their social system or not, or how they run things, you know, the Bible would say, the Bible says, I can't remember which verse, but it says, pull the plank out of your eye before you attempt to remove the speck from your brother's. And there's a lot of people who are saying, oh, you know, China's authoritarian. Well, it's like, we live under an authoritarian system. I mean, period.
Certainly.
People want to criticize China for what it does, but the fact of the matter is China's government has a 90% approval rate from ratings outside of the country. People, like, they have, like, a higher home ownership than America does. They're producing electric vehicles.
I think what you're saying is very important and is true. And so how do we, I mean, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of people were on the streets this weekend in all communities.
Yes.
As you observe that people were upset, they were angry, and over, you know, 100,000 policies, issues. Certainly you can be critical of the organizers and appreciate their efforts.
Yeah.
My concern is, so how do you build upon, or can you build upon what happened? To answer the question of the lady who asked me, what's next? How do you respond?
So my thing is, what's next is we have to build an international workers' movement.
Okay.
You know, it was the blood. That was the blood of the movement that gave us the New Deal concessions. Granted, they were absolutely imperfect. They were very racist towards black and brown people. But a lot of the people who are recognizing that they want to get back to when America was quote unquote great in terms of an economy, not really socially, but as an economy, you know, it was when these big businesses, the same ones who were funding the Democrats and Republicans, were being taxed at a marginal rate of 90%.
Yeah.
And 90% over $300,000, which I think is, like, adjusted for inflation now, I think somebody said, like, $3 million.
Right.
Or something like that, you know, and they, you know, and
try to
workers' movement.
Hey, Santiago, yeah. you're moving a lot, and it's a lot of static, so try to stand still.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So what I was saying is that an internment of workers' solidarity would be the answer, because that's what the answer was. Because when we, I mean, granted that they had a different situation, they were able to see that the American government, or at least FDR himself, was able to see that just 20 years earlier, the Russian Revolution had happened, which removed the Tsar, and the group of communists, socialists, syndicalists, the international workers of the world could point at that and say, look, if you don't give us something to help us, we're going to do what Russia did to the Tsar.
So certainly,
and we don't have that type of workers' commitment to one another.
Well, and that's the work that we have to do. I mean, it's important to analyze the situation, but as you suggest, it takes commitment and organizing, and so that's the answer. Organize. Thank you so much, Santiago.
Well, organize, but recognize that the struggles of the working people in our country are no different than the struggles of working people in the global South, in Europe, and that the same forces that are trying to pilfer the coffers of what little resistance there is and what little cachet has been built up is being perpetrated by the same people who didn't want to see those implemented in the first place. And,
I agree.
And that means that we've got to get over our prejudices that we feel around other countries, that we feel around other people. And it's going to challenge us in ways, because it's like a thread. When you pull on a thread on a garment, it starts to unravel all of it, even the parts you like. And that's scary for a lot of people. But that's where the answer is, in that pain, in that uncertainty. And I think a lot of folks have to sit with that.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for encouraging us to not only sit with it, but be examined critically what we can do. I appreciate your call and for your passion. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. Our caller, last caller, was reflecting on the marches around the nations and gave their perspective on whether it was effective and whether or not what we can do next. I began by just offering this program by offering a quote from John Lewis, who... someone who worked inside and outside the system, and who said, our task is to keep on going, be persistent, and it will last more than one lifetime. 503-231-8187. Our next caller is Jeff. Good morning, Jeff. How are you on this Monday? It's still Monday, yes.
It is still Monday. It's Monday, and it was Monday a little while ago in the markets in the Far East and in the European markets. Thank you, Cecil, for taking my call. To answer your question, I continue to be dangerously well.
Okay.
And I wanted to make a point of saying that all of these systems are a result of investment and spending.
Mm-hmm.
Worldwide. This is about the economics of it that's all talked about, that everybody's in a big kerfuffle about, and for good reason. But all of it is investment and spending. And all of the investment and spending is done by everyday people. Even the executives in the high-towered offices of the investment firms are everyday people. And our choice as an everyday person is... on what will I spend and in what will I invest?
Mm.
And even the poorest amongst us make purchasing decisions every moment of every hour, waking hour of the day.
Mm.
And those purchase decisions actually drive the machine. And I know that the machine will win in the end, and there's no reason to rail against it, because the machine's purpose is to perpetuate itself.
Right, yes.
But every purchase decision we make is a political decision.
So,
in fact,
so
it's the only votes we've got.
So break that down a little bit more. You mean when I go to the corner market, or do anyone go to the corner market up? When I go to my online service,
uh-huh.
What should be my thinking process?
Well, the thinking process should be, what am I voting yes for? Because every dollar in your pocket or in your account is a yes vote. We, the people, as individuals, have no votes. I wish we did. Be a great day to see a ballot that said none of the above. It's been proposed in multiple places all across the country that says none of the above. But our votes are our dollars. And so every purchase we make must be, I don't want to say calculated because that's kind of negative. It must be assessed as to our personal well-being and to the well-being of those around us and ultimately the planet itself. And the crap we buy in this country, it blows my tiny mind. Why are these people making these silly decisions to buy this stupid, useless, pointless, disposable stuff? And much of it is made in China, and that has what has made China the powerful behemoth that it is.
So I'm shopping for my family groceries. And trying to make decisions, wise decisions, but also aware of my pocketbook, that things I can no longer purchase. And how do I make clear decisions that I can live with, but also realizing that I have to feed my kids?
And surely a nourished brain is the only one that is actually operating. I do understand and I agree. But even the poorest amongst us can make slightly better decisions. Among them are to eat less. Yes, I said it. I'm not speaking to the hungry or the food deficient. But eat less and drive slower. That's the beginning. Mm-hmm. And to be a true conservationist is the goal of those of us who consider ourselves conservatives.
Right.
Because we believe in conserving. And when you're just throwing it all around and voting yes to everything you see, every shiny, dangly thing that you see, you are absolutely being sucked right into a really horrible machine.
So it sounds as if an answer I can give to the woman who asks, what's next? Is look at yourself and see your consumer practices. When I see you next, I'll say Jeff said drive less and
drive slower.
Drive slower and eat less. Okay. That's something that they can do.
And it's an ongoing action. It's better for everyone, and it's better for your person, and it's better for the planet. And thanks again for taking my call. I hope this week brings you great pleasure.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for your wisdom. You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Hundreds of thousands of people gathered throughout the nations and towns, large and smalls, in villages, and on sidewalks by the highways all over the country. And a woman came up to me and said, "What's next?" Well, what is next? What do you think? 503-231-8187, and let's hear from our next caller. Janet, how are you this morning?
Actually, kind of getting a slow start, and I'm going to turn the radio off. So.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you great now.
I have been up the mountain, and yesterday I had an appointment down there about a half a block from my granddaughter. She was actually not there for treatment down in Selwood, and there were people coming down the street. This one woman, I took a picture of her with her sign. And I'm listening to that. Was that Jeff before me talking?
Yes.
Because I kind of got a late start this morning. But listen, what I'm thinking is, what are we all doing thinking about ourselves? Netanyahu's coming here and we're eating when babies are getting burned and we're paying for bombs. I didn't hear anything about the genocide. I didn't hear anything about ethnic cleansing. Just a gazillion people like myself, that are just glutted with everything that anyone in the whole universe could ever want, and more and more and more of it. not really talking about global empathy, not talking about the basics of what kind of people we are, that we're just avoiding this most hugely horrific topic that's right here in our faces today. Where's all the people today as Netanyahu's getting red carpeted? I can't think of anything else to say. But that's the one thing on my mind, on my heart, that grieves me so terribly. Okay. And that's all I can say.
Well, thank you, Janet, for sharing. And also, I appreciate that you still have a heart that grieves. And I think that's so important.
Thank you. I've got a great grandson. Impartiality is huge. If you get to the top of the chain of Maslow about how we should live our lives, mm-hmm. it's not just looking out for ourselves. It's about being inclusivity and recognizing that the important thing is that we're all human beings, that we share this planet with one sky, and we don't take an opportunity to hate China or to hate Russia or to look across the street and dog each other. It's not what it's about. Come on. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that was Janet, who reminded us that we are all human beings. And noticing that right now in Washington, D.C., maybe in Florida, Netanyahu is will meet with Trump, and the lack of what she said, need for global empathy. Let's go to our next caller, Michael.
Mr. Prescott, thanks for taking my call. A quick question or a couple comments. I have to echo what John Lewis said about the making this a movement of your lifetime. Mm-hmm. This event over the weekend can't be a one-off. Mm-hmm. It has to be done every week. You know, when you look around the world, when the South Korean president declared martial law, they had 200,000 people in the street within a couple hours. Mm-hmm. We need to be much more aligned with that.
Right.
The second thing is, I was really disappointed in NPR's coverage of the paramedic massacre. You know, they left out the key note that those paramedics were zip tied and shot in the head, and they left that totally off their report. That's critical information that really needs to be conveyed.
So they left it off on their broadcast report or on online report?
Okay. On the broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not acceptable. Yeah. And the last thing is, you know, it's been reported that a lot of countries are trying to get to talk to Trump to negotiate lowering the tariffs. They're talking to the wrong people. They don't need to talk to him. They need to talk to all the other countries that are affected by these tariffs and come up with a concerted action to confront this. The one thing he wants is to divide all those people, all the countries, so that he can beat them down. We only represent 13% of the worldwide economy. The rest of the countries need to get together and come up with a concerted action.
Wouldn't it be interesting if Mr. Trump's action actually helped bring the world together?
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much.
Do you think that it will force them in more countries to join BRICS?
Well, it's, you know, one wonders, you know, the president's motivation and the consequences. And so who knows what will happen. Stay tuned. Thank you so much, Michael, for your thoughts and thank you for your wisdom that you shared.
Okay, thanks.
Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. That was Michael was sharing his disappointment over NPR coverage of what's happening in Gaza and the killing of an AIDS worker, and also his reflection, his agreement with John Lewis that the movement for social justice requires commitment, that it will last more than one lifetime. And waiting to share is Sharon. Good morning, Sharon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Actually, this is kind of in a response, an immediate response, I guess, or a direct response to an earlier caller that talked about voting with our dollar and how powerful that can be. And, years ago, boycotts were a big thing, and I guess that's kind of what we're seeing now with their cars, and that can be really powerful. So there's a book I just wanted to pass on that might help people. People might like having a book to use that can inspire them, called Wallet Activism.
Say that again, Wallet Activism?
Yeah, okay. And Esther, I think, but Wallet Activism. So it's been out for a couple of years, and it's a discipline of, you know, every dollar we spend is a vote, so do we want to invest in this company and invest in what they're doing, you know, that kind of thing. We might choose to buy local, which is a very powerful movement, but one that we might not always do or be able to do. This is taking that a little farther. So if somebody wanted to read something to explore that a little further, I think it's a really powerful way to be an activist in a capitalistic society.
That sounds wonderful. I hadn't heard that book, but I will certainly look for it. And among the things you said that resonated with me was you used the word discipline. It's something that we have to do, and we have to be intentional about it. And wallet activism could be a discipline, a practice. So,
yeah, it's like anything. Yeah, you have to say no, I can't buy there because that's not somebody who I agree with their policies. You know, I'll have to get my coffee somewhere else or whatever. But
yeah.
It's a discipline.
And everyone can do it. So to the woman who asked me what's next. That's one thing you can do, wallet activism.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to pass it on, because it's something we can do. It's something that you can get from the library, so it's there.
I appreciate it, yes.
Sure. Okay, well, thank you.
Hey, thank you so much. And that was Janet, who, in response, what can we do next, says wallet activism is a discipline. How do you spend your dollars? Let's go to our next caller. Roger, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Cecil. Thanks for having me on. You asked what would be the motivation for what the grifter is doing. And I would say it's a number of things, one of which, he loves the attention and he wants to be king of the world, and he wants to get revenge for all being treated so badly. You know, all these indictments for all his crimes and having to sit in court like a little boy and be lectured by judges. And he's getting his revenge. He got Elon Musk to put him back in power with all his money, buying X for $42 billion so he could use his platform as a political tool, not only in the United States, but worldwide. And the other day, the grifter's response to the stock market crash worldwide was, oh, it's a great opportunity to get very rich. And I suspect that he's instructed his sons to, they probably sold all their stock beforehand, and they've made it possible now to sell their phony meme stock, the DJT Truth Social platform, which is on paper worth billions and billions of dollars, even though it's a worthless company, and use that money, and also from all his little coins, his EFT coins that he he released one right before the inauguration that made him billions of dollars, and they're gonna, and his wife as well, and presumably all his friends and his children, and they're going to use all that money to buy up stock at rock bottom prices. And he'll give the word. He'll say, "Okay, I'm going to pull back tomorrow. So buy, 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 buy the dip." So he's going to get wealthier, and he's going to get revenge, and he's going to feel so tough.
So how do So that's what he's doing. What should you do? What should we do in terms of response to the woman who asked, "What's next?"
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a little fuzzy there. What should we do? Well, have community. This is your show, and KBOO is part of our community. And what happened on Saturday was community. I felt very good to be out there on the streets with our signs. Mine said, on one side, "Enough already with the genocide in Palestine. I support Jewish Voices for Peace in Gaza." And the other side said, "A very stable genius," in quotation marks, because that's what he calls himself, "and against us and the world."
Yeah.
Anyway, I think, and I did hear on the other station, the NPR, Michelle Singletary saying, if you do own stock, as many people do in their retirement, don't sell it. Just sit tight. Don't even look at it. Just sit tight and, as Jeff suggested, spend less. I don't drive at all, so I'd say drive less, and as he said, drive slower if you must drive, and consume less. And just be there. Make sure you're there with your fellow human beings and helping those who need. There's people much worse off than I am. I have a home. But there's all these people living in the streets, and there's people who are suffering and will suffer far more with all this stuff that the grifter and his henchmen with the chainsaw are doing to... they just cut... they're eliminating Head Start. They're eliminating all these programs, social programs. And I agree with the caller who said we need to be out there much more than just once. We need to be there out there regularly.
Right.
Anyway, I've said enough.
Hey, thank you.
And I want to hear the rest of your callers.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Roger, and reminding us of the importance of community. Thank you so much. It is important to not only think and be aware of what's happening, but in these important times, with what's happening, building community is important. Thank you, Roger, for that suggestion. What do you think we need to do, people? Give us a call, 503-231-8187. In response to the question that the woman asked me, what's next? What is next? Let's go to Joan. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. Love this show. Well, one thing I loved about the march was all those different people with all those different things that everyone's concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
That is diversity, and that is strength. Mm-hmm. And there is one thing that I'm doing, and I don't know that this will meet everyone's approval, but I'd like to say that every dollar sent to Amazon is a vote for the machine.
Mm.
And every sparkle in your eye at the thought of AI and all this distracting, I don't even know what to call it, it's 1984-ish stuff that's supposed to take our minds off our problems by being so entertained, refuse to be entertained by all this crap. And I wouldn't buy from Amazon. If I have to take the bus and walk 10 blocks, I'm not buying from Amazon. And that kind of decision is something that we can all do.
Yeah,
we could take these people down. They depend on our dollars.
Right.
Maybe we can't take them down today, but there's a certain point of pride in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also choose what you're invested in.
Yes.
And I think we also have to, on the local level, we've got a progressive city council now, more than it was before, certainly. We can talk to these people. And we also have to confront the landlords and the people who are, you know, I mean, you look around, we have to stop blaming the victims. That's another thing. If it annoys you to see all these homeless people on the street, please think about why they're there and that sort of thing. I mean, there's no one answer that everyone can do. But one thing that I can do is choose, yes, what I buy and where I buy it.
Thank you.
And who I buy it from.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Hey, thank you. That's very, you gave some very helpful advice and in terms of what people can do. Thank you. Thank you for your activism.
As much as I can. Thank you.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil, and I'm your host this morning. Our last caller, Joan, was sharing some of their thoughts on who we are and what people can do. They observed that the march on Saturday was magnificent. There were so many different people with different signs. And Joan reminded us that we can, following up on a theme that a couple of previous callers have shared, that individuals can make a difference by how they choose to live, where you buy or not buy, what you drive or how far you drive, confronting landlords, and stop blaming the victims. There's a lot of things we can do, a lot of things that people are able to do. So give us a call, 503-231-8187, and give me some more responses that I can give to Linda, who asked me, the march was great, what's next? 503-231-8187. And those of you who wherever you were and had the opportunity to be in community, which is an important point that one of our callers, Roger, made, the importance of community. So in your community, as you participated in marches, there were, as Joan reminded us, there was many, many signs, many issues that people lifted up. What were some of the signs that you made? That you saw that were important? There's a lot going on, and a lot of people are concerned. Among my observation, that certainly there people were angry and upset, and certainly we ought to be. But part of who we are is that we are community, and we have to be able to live together, to support one another, and to build a stronger community when all things around us is falling apart. Therefore, it is so important to reach out to our neighbors and our friends, and things such as community support, mutual aid, that is so important for us to do and for us to create, because we have to create a different model of society, certainly talking about the larger global economy. That's something we need to confront, but also the impact on local communities. We have to look out for those people who are near us in our community, and especially for those who are most vulnerable. Because we are who we have, and this is what we can do and how we can change the world and make it much, much better for all of us. So for those of you who will join in later, I want to read again the quote from John Lewis, which I think is in part an answer to the question the woman asked me, what's next? The march, the rallies were great. What's next? And John Lewis, in his book Across That Bridge, A Vision
for Change and the Future of America, writes, take a long, hard look down the road you will have to travel once you have made a commitment to work for change. Know that this transformation will not happen right away. Change often takes time. It rarely happens all at once. In the movement, we didn't know how history would play itself out. When we were getting arrested and waiting in jail, or standing in unmovable lines on the courthouse steps, we didn't know what would happen, but we knew it had to happen. John Lewis, reminding us that the movement for social change requires for us to act, and also requires us to realize the pace of change. He reminds us, change often takes time. And we know that. Change often takes time. It really happens, he wrote, all at once. And we know that very well. While walking this Saturday over the bridge and noticing cars and trucks who had to stop to make room for the marchers, we were often struck by, you know, the horns that beep in agreement and allowed us to know that we were not alone. And also, you know, many people were temporarily inconvenienced because they had to stand and wait for the marchers. So, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes waiting. But change often takes time. Standing around waiting for the march to begin. When will it start? When will it start? Well, change often takes time. It takes a lot of work. John Lewis reminds us that ours is not the struggle of one day, one week, or one year. I was reminded at the march this Saturday and seeing the pictures of marches all over the nations and hamlets all over every state of the Union. I was reminded that change is often slow and that it requires all of us to do our part. And so we struggle. We remember those who went before us. I remember maybe 40 years ago when tens of thousands of people marched for nuclear disarmament, nuclear freeze. Remember that? The nuclear freeze movement. And certainly that did not come to pass. But perhaps we move the needle towards justice a little bit closer. And so, my friends, let us hold on to the words of John Lewis. Ours is not the struggle of one judicial appointment or presidential term. Ours is the struggle of a lifetime, or maybe even many lifetimes. And each one of us in every generation must do our part. So, you say I have no skill? Yes, you do. You say I'm not a public speaker? Well, not everyone is called to be a public speaker.
we all are called to do our part, whether that is helping our neighbor, making sure that the woman next door has enough food to eat, saying hello to that person who is living out of their car. Each one of us has an important role to play. So the movement for transformation is a long one. And as John Lewis writes, "And if we believe in the change we seek, what is it that we seek? We seek a better world for all of us. If we believe in that change we seek, then it is easy to commit to doing all we can. What is the world that you seek? Let that vision empower you to create a better world for all." Because the responsibility, John Lewis writes, is ours alone to build a better society in a more peaceful world. That's our task. That's our duty. So we may feel weary, and we ought to, because of the work we have to do. But as another person wrote, "Nothing worth doing can be achieved in a lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Nothing that is true or beautiful or good may complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love." Reinhold Niebuhr wrote those words. Friends, we have things to do. Continue to be a supporter of KBOO Radio. Continue to be a builder of community. And when that person asks you, "What's next?" say there's lots of things to do next. Take their arm, take their hands, and walk with them to create and to build a better world. Thank you all for being faithful participants. And before we go, let's hear from Elvira. Good morning, Elvira.
Good morning to you too. And thank you for providing us this program. I just wanted to say something to reference to the John Lewis wisdom words that seems to me that one way that we can keep this tradition of following every year for a lifetime, as he says, is by something that is being stopped right now. One of them would be probably history, social studies, and civics.
Oh.
Very important. And it seems to me that we'll be covering one way of keeping that tradition years for years. Now, if we're going to stop the history of other races, if it's not the Norman, so then it will not work. So the struggle will be to keep making positive that the students are being instructed with the truth, and then it's up to them to make up their minds. But the schools need to be truth to the students and making sure that the staff is one that will do a good job, which I'm sure they're all doing it.
Yeah. We're coming close to the end of the hour, but I think your observation of the importance of education, the importance of history, civics, social studies, something that we need to encourage, not the elimination of the studies, as you observe, of different peoples, different cultures, because, you know, ultimately we are all in this together, and unless we know and are caring about peoples and cultures, we won't survive. So thank you, Elvira, for reminding us of the importance of this.
Bye.
Goodbye. You've been listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. Thank you, Elvira, for reminding us of the importance of education. And thank you, Joan, for calling, and Roger, and Janet, and Michael, and Jeff, and Santiago, and all you who are listening. What's next? Well, continue to march, continue to be faithful to justice, and continue to be kind to one another. I'm Cecil Prescott. Hey, if you want to email me, go to moretalkradio@gmail.com if you have needed to share. Hey, thank you. And thank you, Ray, for being our engineer this morning. And stay tuned for more programming here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we will see you next time.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO's All Thrills, No Frills, Volume 4 Special Programming Campaign. Check out all the great special programs we're bringing you now through April 15th.